It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The only thing that we would hang banners for, that we put up around this building, is world championships.
Built to ass. BTA.
And, you know, the message is clear. You know, we just had to play better.
Everybody wants to take a chip and dip it in that salsa, you know what I'm saying?
You know, people had us as a really good team, but I don't think they really understand how good we can really be.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
And Giannis is on a stopper to the Blues. What a cat. That's insane.
You're listening to the Poor Man's Packers Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, and one Packers Podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello, hello.
And hello and welcome to another Victory Tuesday while we're recording. Packers winning 18-27. Yeah, it was almost a week ago, but, you know, what, do you expect us to record over the weekend or on a Monday? No. That's never gonna happen. Maybe sometime. Maybe that's happened in the past, but no. 18-27, Packers are still really fucking good at football. I mean, Todd, is there... I'm just so much more happy now that our football team is kind of the talk of the league for the most part. You know, I think the Bills at times are, you know, they put up a lot of points. They got the MVP. The Ravens are pretty fucking good, too. The Eagles are the Eagles. The Chiefs are, well, they're 0-2. But it's like... watching the game, and I don't know if this has ever happened, you watch, and if for somehow an act of God we don't score points on offense and then the ball goes to the you know, our opponent, then it's like, oh, now I get to watch the defense. And then when the defense gets a stop, I'm like, oh, I get to watch the offense again. It's like, the special teams is the only part that can get a little crummy there, just mostly this week. Week one, we were fine, but it's like, I love watching the Packers now even more than I have in probably, I don't know, the last 5 years, probably, maybe. I mean, the 2020 was pretty fun, but outside of that, I think this might be the most fun. We're 2 weeks in.
I think we're 2 weeks in. There's a lot of season left. But we played two really good teams, and the most exciting team that I can think of. Like, the 2011 offense was, like, my favorite offense ever. It was just so fun. But, like, this defense, like you're saying, you go from offense to defense, I'm just having fun the whole time. Like, it's just, and we're pushing the ball down the field on offense. And on defense, we have a pass rush that's fun to watch. We have, I mean, like, we talked about before, we have a stud on every level. So it's just fun. Like, you don't know where... You're never like, I feel like before, even when we did have a good pass rush, it was like, ah, like our safeties kind of suck. So like, if it was down the middle of the field, you're like, ah, we're getting burned. Or even like guys that were pretty good and there for like Tremont Williams and stuff, like big moments gets burned. Like, I don't feel that way with this team. But in the past I've been like nervous almost, like that we're going to like not perform like how we should. And now I'm just like, we're on the attack. We're beating the shit out of these teams at every level, and it's just fun. Like, that's the fun part. Like, the defense makes it more fun, I think. Like, the offense isn't quite like some of those Aaron Rodgers offenses yet, but the defense is amazing.
On defense, it's like, we haven't even been able to watch Xavier McKinney because he hasn't been tested. He hasn't had to do much of anything. He could have maybe tackled a little bit better on Thursday. There was a couple, like the Ertz one, I think he maybe could have gotten in there. Well, Quay was the one who really missed
Quay,
on that.
Yeah.
But it's still just like those little things, and it's just, I don't know, everything's perfect. I love my life. What did you think of the jerseys, the winter whiteout warning week two?
I like the all whites. I like the white helmets. And I believe it was all white socks with no stripes.
Ooh,
you could put a stripe on the Sox. That would be my only.
I don't even remember.
I could go back and forth on that, but I think that would be the only thing. Just like a nice, like a double yellow down the sock. That's it.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Did you like them?
I think they're fine. It's throwing it out this early in the season. I guess it is the right thing to have it at prime time. I was at the Titans game a couple of years ago. That was a Thursday all whites. I think that's when we still had the yellow helmets with it, though. I think that was a recent change where we went to the white helmets. But it's like, obviously, it's like, why don't you do this in the winter, right?
But
then I heard people say, well, in the winter, when there's snow on the ground, it would be a disadvantage for everything to be white. And I'm like, I guess that could screw up what you're seeing out there.
I thought this was funny. Somebody was like, but people aren't going to buy the merch in the winter because they're wearing all their snow gear. So they're not going to buy like the merch. And I'm like, another fun aspect of how this works.
That's kind of what we did too, because I was at that game and I did not wear a white jersey. I actually gave Andrew, who used to be on the podcast, for the worst year that we've had it, and he wore white. He was like, why aren't you guys wearing white? I was like, that's not a real thing. And then I got there, I'm like, I probably should have wore white. So he was actually white about that one. Got the other thing I want to bring up too, the muscled up fan that they showed at Lambeau for like 15 seconds. I reached out to him. He left me on red. I wanted to get him. I found him on Facebook, people. If you don't remember, they cut to that juiced up fan.
Too fast, though. But I might add, like, Spencer texted me. He was like, I want to get this guy on the pod. And immediately sent me his Facebook. I was like, how did you find that so fast?
Well, we got the guy who had the Lambeau Leap last year, and I got him relatively early. And so I wanted to, like, beat the crowd to talking to this guy. It was still a full 24 hours later, I believe. Yeah, it was that next Friday. So it was like 24 hours later, but I was like, I want to get on the ground level of juiced up guy. Like, I want to figure out, did you puff a fat cloud after the camera cut away? Like, what do you bench? I want to figure all the stuff out. Yeah. So left me on red, so he's not going to come on the podcast. Very sad. Maybe I'll reach out again, but at that point, it would be a little bit less relevant. But we can get into the rest of this episode. We'll break down the game, the offense, and defense. Any updates since then? Obviously, there was a couple injuries. We'll have take news. Nothing big for that. Just some Sterling Sharp talk a little bit, and we'll talk about the NFC North briefly and how it's over. Stump Spenny, Packers trivia, and then we will preview the Browns game. And then we'll also, hey, we got some comments. We have the most comments we've ever had, actually. So very cool. We'll read those off. So Wes Hodquitz, we'll start with the offense, but I'm going to throw this out there. He put this fact out today. Wes Hodquitz, who works for the Packers, dating back to 1933, this is the first time the Packers have allowed fewer than 100 rushing yards and fewer than 35 points combined in their first two games of the season. I could have saved that for the defense. I thought the offense was involved there, but like since 1933, this team hasn't been as dominant as it is right now, at least through two games. It's crazy that didn't happen in like the leather ball football games, you know. But offense, starting things off, Jordan Love, of course, finished 19 for 33, 292 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Again, just every Jordan Love game is a Jordan Love game. No picks in this one. No real dangerous balls. He obviously had the bad ball on fourth down to Golden that probably should have been a touchdown. And then he also overthrew him on what should have been a 96-yard tutty. You know, if one of those hit, we're probably thinking a little bit different about Matthew Golden right now. But what can he do? We have the second highest deep shot completion percentage in the NFL, which makes sense. I've heard even other guys talk about how it's fun to watch the Packers just be for how much we huck the ball downfield. And then, I mean, the last thing, or maybe not the last thing, but the other thing I got to talk about with Jordan Love, that awesome fucking run. Was it second down? I think it was third down.
I think it was third down because it was like, he's got to make something happen here. And he had like, it was like 10 yards to go or 8 yards to go or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he stays in. Yeah, because I think, I want to say it was third and eight. And he's running. It's like, you know, where are you going to get there? It's like, oh, I see some maroon or whatever that color is. Burgundy? Is that a color?
They're playing the Gophers.
Yeah, they're playing the Gophers out there. Absolutely just runs over the guy. I mean, he he turns into like a, he bends in half that corner, and then obviously the next guy, Jordan Love, actually finally goes down, but picks up the first. Did you see what Micah Parsons said about it?
I saw that he like said something about him falling the week before when he had that really awkward fall and he made fun of him, and then he went up to the bench and like went up to Jordan Love on the bench and congratulated him.
That's exactly what it was. He said after the game tour, he's like, yeah, last week I thought he wasn't athletic, and then this week I watched him run out there and do that, and he was like, that's my quarterback right there. I'm like, ah, there you go. You like hearing that. But yeah, I don't know. Jordan Love, fun. He's back and forth on the accuracy stuff. There wasn't short stuff he was really missing. It was just those couple deep bombs that you wish you would have hit him on. But other than that, I mean, he's really good in the pocket. I mean, that's kind of the more underrated thing about his game is how he's able to avoid pressure and still get those throws off. One of the best plays he had last year, I think it was against Detroit, where he just maneuvered around the pocket, was like full blow, running out, stopped on a dime, reset his hips, and then threw it to Christian Watson down the sideline. Like, that was very impressive, and that kind of sums up what he can do at times. But, I mean, Jordan Love, passing game, can't complain.
No, it's definitely super fun to watch, and do got to love. I mean, it's risky, right? Like, I don't want to see Jordan Love doing the truck stick more than once a game.
Yeah.
I don't really want to see it more than once a month, to be honest with you.
The wrong shoulder, too, which
that's what everybody on, like the halftime cast or whatever those, whatever you call that crew or whatever for Prime, was like, yeah, you got to, like, Fitzpatrick, I think is who it was.
That's
was
right.
Like, yeah, you got to use the other shoulder. And it's like, that's a good point. But also, if you bring the hit, you can use whichever shoulder you want. Like, if it's a corner, like, go for it.
Did you see people were comparing it and complaining about, like, the Patrick Mahomes play from week one? Do you remember that? Where Mahomes was...
I'm assuming it's he's going to run out of bounds and then he trucks somebody. That was not that at all.
It did not come across my mind watching that live. Maybe it's my bias, but I'm like, I never thought he was going out of bounds when he was running it. So I don't think anyone let up when he was, you know, running with the ball.
I'll have to watch that again, but I didn't see him act like he was going out of bounds at all.
Yeah.
We should watch like the end zone cam because that would really tell you.
Yeah, well, that's a task for a different day. Someone else can do that. Only other thing that I added there was LaFleur getting mad. They talked about it pretty well. I think Kirk Herbstreit did, but how LaFleur was yelling at JJ and Igbari for not for going out on the field thinking they were doing the field goal, and that slowed everything up, and that was one of the reasons why, well, I mean, it was... butterfly
effect.
They were
able to substitute.
Yes, they're able. Well, I don't even think they were going to substitute, but either way, we're going to get that snap off before they were set, which probably would have led to a touchdown. I'm just going to say it would have, and then, you know, the Matthew Golden play wouldn't have happened. But whatever. Wideouts. First guy to talk about. I have Romeo Doubs listed here. Again, I think I said it last week, but again, he showed more emotion in these first two games than he did the rest of his career combined, it feels like. That beautiful route, that slant for the touchdown, very cool. He's like the one slant guy, I feel like, or he's kind of the red zone guy right now outside of Tucker Kraft, but as far as the wideouts go, he's the one. The guy who has replaced him this season so far as the third down guy, Dontayvion Wicks. I mean, that first series,
yes.
I mean, God, what was it, two or three times where it's third and eight, third and six, and it's like, oh, where's Wixie? He's right there. And
I think it was two of them.
It was at least two for sure. He did finish with four receptions, 44 yards, no touchdowns, but kind of exactly what we have been looking for out of Wicks, where maybe he doesn't have the best hands, but so far pretty good, don't you think?
And yes, and like I feel like this just opens up, it gets him like a little bit warmed up, because we saw in the past, I think it was like his rookie season maybe, when he gets the ball in his hands in the middle of the field, he's not easy to take down. Like he's nowhere near like a Savion type athlete, but he's like a big, strong, fights for extra yards guy, and he's not fun for corners. So I don't know. I'm excited for him to just like heat up a little bit, get into a rhythm, and then we can use him for some other stuff. But yeah, the third down catches are like, what more can you ask for?
The Chargers game, his rookie year, that was like his coming out party where he took like a little, it was like just a little first down middle of the field. You know, he caught it coming more towards the middle, and then he just took off and ran past like half their defense. Next guy to talk about, Jaden Reed. He finished with, no actual stats, but we all know that he had the one touchdown, breaking his collarbone on it. A bummer, quite the bummer, but at the same time, it's like, well, if we're going to get hit with an injury at one spot, that's mm-hmm. the one. And he did mm-hmm. have surgery today where they repaired, one, his broken collarbone, which obviously happened on that play. But they also did repair his broken foot as well. So that happened. Did you? doubling up. So it's like, oh, well, you get to fix his foot at the same time. So yeah. All things considered, could be worse. Did you see his live stream today from when he was getting out of surgery?
I did not.
Okay, so here we'll play this here in case you didn't see it. I guess I wish he got hurt sooner so I had this clip because I have it in the new intro for the podcast, but this was him on Instagram Live immediately after the surgery.
You got a whole bunch of people on here. You want to tell them? Tell them hi. Tell them that you're good.
Pack us to the bowl, bro.
Tell them you good. And then we're going to
I'm good. Thank you for the prayers, bro. But we turned, bro. Okay. We going all the fucking way, bro.
Okay, that's it.
Nah, bro. They can't fuck with us, bro.
Okay.
Did he leave it up after that?
I don't know how Instagram Live works. I don't know if there was enough fans who were live recording it. It got picked up from a couple. But yeah, right after that, the live ended. Like, his girlfriend or mom, whoever it was, like, turned it off. But it's just to be in that state of mind and immediately you're like, Super Bowl, bro. It's like he's just like me. He's just like me.
It is funny. It's so much better. He could have said so many other things, but he yes. immediately was like, Super Bowl. Which
we I don't
want him to get hurt, right? Like, it's never a good thing. True. But almost feels like one of those opportunities for like Matthew Golden to get some more touches now to yes. accelerate his learning process. And my thought was like, this could be good for the end of the year.
Yeah.
Is all. Like, it's like exactly. a good depth thing.
That's what I thought too, is long-term health even for him. It's probably better, you know, maybe we're talking too soon, but if he comes back and he went into the game with one, left with two, and maybe when we see him again, he'll have zero. So hopefully, and you're right. And if there's one spot where Matthew Golden makes the most sense for him to replace someone, it is in the slot because everyone else just has that different build, a more prototypical outside receiver. Speaking of that build, God, Malik Heath, I mean, just the one catch, 37 yards. A good throw from Jordan Love, too. It was such a good catch.
Yes.
You kind of forget the toss. But Malik Heath is the super James Jones, where James Jones would make the incredible catches or like the tough ones and then yep. drop the easy ones. Malik Heath, it's the awe-inspiring catches because last year, too, God, was it against the Panthers or someone like on the sideline like or Jags? Like, he pretty much, it was from Malik Willis threw him the ball.
Okay.
And he jumped up and caught it. It was like on third or fourth
down. Was it a touchdown?
No, I think it was just to convert okay. a fourth down. But it's like he jumped twice as high as I thought he was capable of. And this one, too, it's like, how are you able to make these catches? But then in preseason, you'll go like consecutive drives, dropping a ball right in your mitts.
He does seem like he's big. He's physical. We all have talked about him before in the run game and like what he brings for like run blocking. But I wonder, like, is he just, like, not that... I mean, his hands, like you said, aren't great on the easy ones. But, like, is he just not a good route runner? Like, how is he not... When I yes. watch him do stuff that like that, I'm like, he looks like we should have him on the field. Like, he looks like we should have him out there all the time. And he's, like, a big potential, like, red zone. Like, his build is, like, a red zone build. I don't know.
He did play 32% of the snaps in this game. But if you remember against the Eagles, he did run a route pretty poorly in the red zone, which led to an incompletion or maybe it was even a pick on third or fourth down. So his route running is kind of the thing that is slowing Bummer. Him up a bit. Something else he revealed to Jason Wilde today, which I thought about just tweeting out from the account saying I have a source, but he basically said that... I almost said Hollywood Brown. Who's the receiver on the practice squad? The returner from the Chiefs.
Oh,
everyone's yelling at their
Mecole
TV.
Mecole
Hardman.
Hardman. I was like Coleman.
I thought you were gonna say Cornman. he's going to get called up from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. So that's if that hasn't already happened, it's going to happen this week.
Sources say.
Sources have told me and others. And the other thing on top of that. LaFleur won a challenge. We didn't talk about it last week where terrible challenge week one. This one, it was so good.
LaFleur challenge week one.
It was so good they might not have even counted the challenge against him because it might have fallen under like the, you know, quick review, whatever the hell they call it, where there wasn't even
right.
P. It starts with a P, not pro.
There wasn't even what?
The word for when they go to New York and they're like, yeah, overturn it right now. You were wrong. But whatever. Either way, got it right. Didn't really review it. We went on with their lives. Savion Williams, a lot of receivers to talk about. Savion, I mean, didn't have any receptions, but he did have the 2 yards for 22, the one for 16 to pick up on a 2nd and 8. That was a classic no, 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 yes, yes, yes play where Jordan Love was lined up at wideout and they like faked a reverse to him or whatever. And then Savion just kept it and ran and then turned into Luke Musgrave and slipped. But, we overlooked him going into the year just because he was so banged up and we didn't see much of him. But, again, another guy who Jaden going down, he's kind of been the gadget guy before, probably shouldn't have been because he is a little smaller. But Savion being 6'4", 222 pounds, he's more built for it. And so far, so good. I mean, if we're doing this stupid jet sweep shit, he's the perfect guy to get those touches.
And he is a great guy that, like, just put the ball in his hands. So, like, the wildcat thing that they did, which you saw, they asked Jordan Love if, like, he's going to get that to throw the pass. Because they essentially split Jordan Love out to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wildcat runs. And Jordan Love runs to the right. And they, like, basically Savion, like, fake tosses it to him. And they asked him about it. He's like, yeah, we got to put out. I mean, Jordan Love, like we talked about, is, like, a little bit, like, boring sometimes. So it wasn't, like, a great quote. But it's just funny that they did ask him about it. And, like, are we going to get that throw? Because you can imagine, like, Tucker on the backside on that would be super fun. So it also could mean Jordan Love gets absolutely obliterated by that right. weak side.
Yes.
If and that, so that's scary.
That's what I was thinking watching that. I'm like, if this goes back to Jordan, his limbs are going to fly up into the air. That reminds me to talk about like that stupid trick play shit and doing that to Jordan Love. It's like, remember the whole get Keyshawn Nixon on offense thing for a couple years, and he did take a couple snaps on offense. He picked up at least one first down. Now I'm like, I don't want him out there because we have too many weapons now, which wasn't so much the case before. It's almost like
too many weapons, not enough corners.
when we brought in Randall Cobb, it was like, oh, he's played some quarterback at Kentucky. We can do some gadget stuff. It's like, okay, sure. But every play you have Randall Cobb throwing is one less of Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball. And right. I think I'd prefer that. Matthew Golden, we kind of talked about it. He had the two targets. He had two rushes for 15 yards. Not bad. Didn't have the catches, but he probably should have had at least one touchdown if Jordan would have. You know, if we could move the ball a yard total, maybe there's two touchdowns between that 1 yard. So who knows?
Ooh, we'll if see. We could affect the ball in the air.
Yeah. Which we can't. We unfortunately can't. Tight ends. Tucker Kraft. You see
the tight end,
the wide receiver one, the number one pass catcher on this team. 6 receptions, 124 yards, 1 touchdown, the long of 57. Very cool. It's crazy how this seems to happen multiple times a year where it's like, oh, he's running for over 40 yards right now. And he's a fucking tight end. And you're thinking he might score. Like, I think, what was it? Was it against Detroit? He actually scored last year, whatever it was. But it's like you match him up with Bobby Wagner, who is 1,000 years old
now. 100. Yeah.
It's
how is he still playing?
I don't
know. It's insane.
Well, not even him. So I'm sure, you know, most of us heard a million times. It was the youngest roster in the NFL versus the oldest.
Yes.
Wagner's one thing. I can't believe fucking, I almost said Mario Williams, Von Miller, that Von Miller is still in the league.
True.
He's 36, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. That is wild.
He isn't even like a big, big guy. Like he's always been one of those more speed rushers and he's still in the league. Like that is commendable and that is impressive.
His snap count was pretty stingy, it seemed. I wasn't paying attention to him like the whole game, but I only saw him out there a couple times.
I think he was like number 24. He had like a weird number two. Yeah,
that sounds right.
I mean, pass rush specialist. But again, he was one of those guys like this offseason where we're like, hey, can we get another edge defender It's like and then you look at like the top list. It's like, fuck, Von Miller's in the top three. How is this even an option right now? But
he had a pressure or two though.
Yeah, well, there you go. Pass rusher specialist. He was, he was fresh all game, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, again, Tucker Kraft. I was scared when he lay down on the sideline there for a bit. He said that was cramps.
Oh, okay.
Thank
God. Lay down on the sidelines.
Yeah, whatever. He got hurt and he stayed down for a bit, but then he walked off. It was in like the first or second quarter, I believe. Most receiving yards for a tight end in for a Packer since Richard Rodgers and the Hail Mary in
the Detroit game.
Yep. As soon as they showed like 140 whatever yards, Richard Rodgers, I'm like, that had to have been Detroit because Richard Rodgers
the 60 yards at the end of the game.
Because Richard Rodgers was not a good football player. The worst play in Mike McCarthy's playbook was the Richard Rodgers 2 yard out for 0 yards. Like, that was the most frustrating play to watch over and over again. But what?
He caught everything.
Yeah, he had. He did have those Mickey Mouse hands.
He caught very well. Yeah, and the white gloves.
It's a very... Just, yeah.
If Rodgers you, to Rodgers. Pro tip, if you're a young athlete out there, which I'm sure there's billions listening, just get the big white gloves. It looks more aesthetically pleasing to throw to the big white gloves.
Get the goalie gloves in soccer. the other guys, you know, there isn't much to talk about. Luke Musgrave finished 2 for 32. You know, not bad, whatever. Fitzpatrick, he had one, but it was called back. And the refs in this game, you know, it wasn't a big deal, but they were one of the things that kind of kept it from being a blowout, too. There was a one hold that they had on John Fitzpatrick where the defender was the
not
one
a
who
hold.
Initiated it, and they called it on him. I'm like, that was bullshit.
Yeah, that was super soft.
Super soft. Yeah. Musgrave, fine, whatever. Supplementary role, I'm good with that. Oh, the one other
will
thing.
Will Musgrave ever not fall down?
If he doesn't get the ball, yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
fair enough.
It really.
Do you think
is...
he falls on purpose?
I don't know. I wonder if he's pigeon-toed like me. Maybe that's it. We keep trying to find what this is. Maybe. What it is. I got to look at more pictures of him just standing.
Feet don't work.
And see where those toes are pointing. Did I ever, behind baseball, whatever it is. I had, when I was a child, I had like little shoes. When my parents moved out of our like childhood home a couple of years ago, we threw away because my mom keeps everything. It had like pads on the inside heel. It was like two tiers down from the Forrest Gump braces on his legs.
Oh, you had like special orthotics in your shoes fix your feet?
But it was like on the sole, on the bottom, because I was so pigeon-toed. I'm still pigeon-toed, but I can at least walk now. I must have struggled with that a little bit more when I was just a little baby.
We should throw you the football, see if you just fall over immediately.
Yeah. Last thing on Kraft, I think Matt Schneiman put this out there. Quote, a couple of us were talking to Tucker Kraft in his locker room, and Romeo Dubs, the quietest person on the team, walked by in sunglasses and a hoodie and said four words while smiling, Kraft and cheese, baby. So, again, if the fact that Romeo has, like, a personality, just another reason to think that this is, like, a special year for the Green Bay Packers.
Well, and week one, we saw him get the most fired up we've ever seen Romeo Dubs. He's a new man.
Did you see the video of like his catches from previous years, like scoring touchdowns? If you remember that one against Seattle that he like scooped it off the ground, like it should have hit the ground.
Yeah.
It's a touchdown. He just gets up, hands the ball, nothing. It was just a long montage of touchdowns and first downs, just handing it to the ref, nothing. And then this year it's been literally every single reception he's doing something.
Yeah, he does seem very different. I don't know. He's probably the same guy in the locker room, but like on the field, he seems different.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe his agent talked to him and was like, hey, get your shit together and you can have generational wealth.
Yeah, hey.
And then do whatever the fuck you want after that.
We're going somewhere else next year. Yeah. Shape up.
Running backs, Josh Jacobs, 23 carries, 84 yards, one touchdown, of course. Now that streak is at 10 games, I believe, right? I think it was 9 the week before.
It's sounds right.
10, 11, whatever it is. But again, real slow start of the season for him. Again, I mean, just with this game, it was a 3.7 yard average. you know, the running game is more of a thing to just milk the game away at times. There hasn't been real big runs. Even in this one, his long run was of 10 yards, which is fine. That's kind of what we get out of Josh Jacobs. So we'll see if something changes here. This is also without Aaron Banks and Zach Tom. Yeah, Todd?
I will also say, though, that like the field conditions seem these last couple weeks to have been a little slippery.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of guys slipping around.
Okay, well, we can't make.
I'm just saying
we can't make fun of Luke Musgrave for 2 minutes straight. And
we
then
can
be
make
like,
fun
it's
of
slippery.
Luke all the time because he's literally never stayed on his feet. Actually, there was one time and he got a game ball for it. So, like, what does that tell you?
Against the Cowboys, yeah.
You remember? Yeah. Touchdown. So, but it was like it did seem like guys who had like Savion slipped. Guys who were really explosive were slipping a lot. Josh Jacobs slipped a few times. Who else is explosive? I don't know, Matthew Golden, did he slip? Probably.
There you go. That's why you come to this podcast for a lot of...
That's turf talk.
Probably turf talk. Okay, how about this? Again, just with what this running game's been doing this year, and, you know, last year we it was more part of the game plan, especially the second half of the year. Guess how many non-Josh Jacobs running back carries there have been through 2 weeks? Don't look at the stats. Don't look at the fucking stats. Look at me.
Non-Josh Jacobs running backs?
Yep, my eyes are up here. Come on.
We're talking carries, right?
Yep. Yep, you're
Gosh,
looking down
I
again.
I know. I'm not looking down. I know, like, Emmanuel Wilson had, like, 2. And I want to say Chris Brooks had, like, 4. So I'm going to say 6.
It is 2. It is 2. And they
Did
both,
Brooks not have any?
They both happened last week. There was none. It was only Josh Jacobs as far as the running backs go. Brooks had one last week, and Wilson had one last week.
1-1?
Neither of them had a single carry in this game, which is crazy. Like, Savion Williams has as many carries as the running backs combined. Tucker Kraft, who has 1, has the same amount as Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks. You know, so it's just...
That's crazy. I would... 2 is such a small amount. I thought Emmanuel had a couple, but...
No, he only came in on like that last drive against the Lions, and I don't remember seeing him out there at all this week. He might have not have any offensive snaps. Chris Brooks, again, pass protection guy, he had a lot of snaps out there. 3 receptions for 27 yards. This game, he was the garbage time third down. It was twice where it was 3rd and long. The one he almost converted, it was like 3rd and 15 or 20-something, and he was just short. Next one, too, was a 3rd and 15, and he was like 3 yards short. Again, I mean, one of them led to going to it on 4th down, that throw to Matthew Golden. So just a nice, again, nice little piece. You know, if he's the, 50th best player on your roster is pretty good, and I like having Chris Brooks on this football team.
Well, and Chris Brooks is just such a good, like, role player. Like, yeah, he gets the ball in the flat. Like, there isn't, like, you can watch him and be like, yeah, there's, like, not enough there, like, athletically to make those guys miss. Yeah. But he just, like, he moves up the field. He gets north and south, and he just, like, gets yards. Like, he just does his job. And, like, you need those guys on your team that can play a role. He's super good at pass blocking. Like, it's, I love him.
You know who he is?
No.
Good. He is the
John Kuhn.
He is the Eric Wilson of the offense.
Okay.
You know,
Did you see Eric Wilson last week?
He's a fucking beast. No, the last 2 days ago. The last 2 weeks he forced a fumble. I think he had a pick or something
punch
the week before. Yeah, like Eric Wilson, when
love
you
him.
Downs 1 through 2, dog shit. You know, pass coverage, dog shit. Run stuffing, depending on what's going on. But if it's 4th down or if it's like causing a turnover or something or 3rd down, he's making the play. Like it happened multiple times where this little dude on like 4th and nothing would run in and like stuff a run out of nowhere for us. So, you know, I am very happy for him, even though the Vikings are going to fucking suck
totally
this season.
Yeah, it's fun to see him go do stuff. And like, ah, oh, you feel good about it. You're like, ah. Oh.
It's also funny
like
to be
Eric.
Like, yeah, it's like, oh, look, they took one of our guys, and I'm fine with him. It's like, he was with the Vikings before he was with us, too. And so it's been a snip, snap, snip for his career. The offensive line, this is pretty interesting. It was Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Anthony Belton, and Darian Kennard rotated at right tackle. Anthony Belton finished with 46 snaps. Kennard had 17. The second half was mostly Belton, but either way, it was surprising that I think most people thought Kennard was going to be the starting right tackle just because he was the one that came in late against the Lions after Zach Tom got hurt. So interesting there. He did have the one penalty. I think it was a hold or false start on the first series, but after that, it didn't happen again. I don't believe he allowed any pressures, so pretty good for, again, it's, you know, we live in Minnesota. We hate the Vikings.
Did he really not allow a pressure?
I could be wrong. I know he didn't allow a sack.
That's crazy.
Maybe I'm
misspeaking.
There was
some pressure, though.
Sure. Yes, there was some, that's probably what there was some pressure. But it's like you see Viking fans complaining. They're like, oh, you can't. J.J. McCarthy, how are you going? How do you expect him to come out here and play okay when his tackle is gone and his starting guard is gone? It's like, well, the Green Bay Packers were without their Pro Bowl caliber tackle and their really good interior offensive lineman, and Jordan Love was just fucking fine. So maybe you should get a GM who knows how to draft or put a roster together.
Whoa.
And maybe you
are
shouldn't,
you coming at Queasy?
Queasy. Yeah, Queasy, isn't it? And maybe you shouldn't be filling holes with 30-something-year-old offensive linemen who have injury concerns. The Fry or whatever, I think their center, whoever went out, he's like 30. He's 30 or 32 years old. He has 3 or 4 documented concussions, and he had another concussion this week. So it's like, what is going to happen with this guy? Anyways, I digress. We were much better. Love was only sacked twice. We total average 4.5 yards a carry. That's with Savion and Jordan Love, you know, obviously bumping those numbers up. Zach Tom has a torn oblique muscle. I don't know. Did you hear about that? Tom Silverstein reported that.
No. I mean, I heard that it was an oblique, but I didn't know. How long? What are we looking at here?
That's the thing. It's like it comes out, oh, it's torn, but there's different grades of it being torn. So when I put it into Grok or ChatGPT or whatever.
It's an A?
Exactly. We don't know what grade it is. So it's anywhere from 2 weeks to out for season. So I'm going to, he's going to push to play
4 weeks.
Week. Yeah. Well, I think he's going to play this month. I'd almost guarantee that. He already said he was feeling a lot better after the Commanders game, but before that, like, it hurt to, like, breathe or some shit like that is what Silverstein was saying. And Aaron Banks told Wilde that he is going to play this week, so we will see if that actually happens. But that's offensive line. I don't know
if you guys are, there's a fun thing you can do is when one of your players gets injured on your favorite team, you can just go right onto Twitter and start, tweet that player and then their injury, or like search it, and there'll be 27 different doctors that will be commenting about how they can get back on the field and what they think it is. And you could just like dive in right there. It's so fun. I had one guy who was like, that's a hip pointer. He just needs an injection. He'll be back out.
I'm trying to navigate what you mean by this, because you also sent me like a tweet where someone's like, hey, this Twitter doctor is saying this. I'm like, do you actually trust these Twitter doctors?
No. I mean, sometimes they're probably onto something, but I don't know which ones are right. I have no idea. And they've never seen this patient before, so they have no clue what's actually wrong.
There's the one guy.
Dr. Chow.
Chow might be better. There's the other guy. There's the white guy with like shortish hair. I think it might be blonde or something. He's a piece of shit.
That might be the guy, the hip pointer guy.
He's a piece of shit. He just guesses. And the other thing too, it's like if you have, it's like when sports writers, like blogger boys, have a suit and tie on and they're like throwing a football up in the air and looking at it like they got pictures taken so that they're taking more.
Like senior photos?
Kind of, yes. But they're doing it for their blog, so they're taking more seriously. Like you see those people, like fucking Ross Uglum used to have a picture like that. Andy Herman might have too. It's like, you're doing too much. The fucking Twitter doctors who have like the white coat on.
The smock?
Yeah, in the smock. That's right. When they have that on, I'm like, I want to throw this out because this is fucking bullshit. No self-respected doctor is like, oh, I need to put on my most doctor outfit for my Twitter picture so people take me seriously when I make shit up about Jordan Love's sprained MCL after he plays the Eagles and I say he's going to be out for 2 months when actually he misses a game, right? Two games?
Yeah, I think I think we should use it as entertainment. So if you want, just go on Twitter. They're really easy to find. They'll be, you just search like, oh, Zach Tom injured, and immediately just go to recent. There's just like, there's 10 of them that are like, this is what it is. I'm a doctor. And the best ones say MD after in their Twitter. Yes. So, because you know they take themselves really seriously.
Maybe that should be my next pivot, not to be NFL insider. I did break a couple couple of the players that the Packers cut this year. I was the first for a few when I changed my Twitter handle, but nobody cared for whatever reason.
And you are on top of the schedule release every year.
I used to be. I used to tweet out when the NFL was going to announce when they were going to announce the schedule release. That was because now the NFL has just done that. Now they're saying, hey, we're going to announce when the schedule will be released on Thursday. And I'm like, fuck, they cucked me.
Did we talk about this offseason that they have like a schedule party where they basically like force down our throats like what the schedule is for the, like, we don't care.
They've done it.
You care about your team and that's it.
They've done it for 5 years and the schedule is usually leaked before that. Yeah. Anyway. So it's like, it just shows you what a monster the NFL is at this point.
The ratings must be horrible, but they don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm curious. I would like to see, they must get a bump as opposed to like a normal Thursday on NFL Network when they're doing
probably it. True. But as far as like actual football stuff goes, it's got to be, it doesn't move the needle.
It's the old people. It's the, is it Michael Rodney? It's Michael Rodney. He's the one that goes on the NFL Network to see it because he doesn't know. Well, I guess he's got a Twitter. So
we're not here to say anything negative about Mr. Rodney.
Yeah, whatever. With that, we will have a quick commercial break.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And we are back with the defense. The defense, very good, only allowed 18 points. There's been zero touchdowns scored in quarters 1-3 by the opponent so far this Packers season. That is the majority of the game. If you can't... let me double. Yep, that is correct. Here's another stat from Wes Hodquitz. The Commanders, 18 points, tied for their fewest in any Jaden Daniels 22 career starts, including playoffs. Also, fewest total yards, 230 yards per play, per rush, and first downs, 15 in a Daniels start. So, once again, it's like the best anyone's ever gone against him. He was the rookie of the year last year. Any fucking metric you looked at, EPA too, which no one really knows what that means, but it was the worst for him ever too. And I wrote this down too. You know, we talked a little bit off the top that it's fun to watch this defense. Every first down feels laborious for opposing offenses watching the game. It's like it always seems to go to a third down at least. And it's funny watch because you're like, oh, fuck, we gave up a first down. It's like, oh, they're 2 yards past the first down line. Like it's always just so close every time. It's very, very fun. Defensive line. I mean, Parsons again, he was fucking triple teamed in this game. The hands to the face on Parsons on the second drive forced the second consecutive 3-and-out, which I think they called it a hole, but it was a hands to the face. He generated a team-high 8 pressures and half a sack on 37 pass rushes, which is 21.6% win rate in just his second game. But, I mean, this defense, once again, we finish with Cooper having half a sack, Gary having a sack, Carl Brooks having half a sack, Micah Parsons, like I said, having half a sack, and then Baron Sorrell having half a sack. Very, very cool. Talked about it. I think I mentioned it off the top, maybe not, but seeing after the game, Parsons walking up to the Thursday Night Football desk, and the fans at Lambeau were chanting, "Thank you, Jerry." Very cool.
Did you watch when he was out there? It was the most obnoxious thing.
Yes.
I don't care. Like, it's cool that the Packers fans stuck around in big numbers and, like, whatever. I'm not ragging on the fans, but, like, if you're, like, trying to talk about the game and they're just screaming at you, that has to be so annoying to be on the stage out there because you're like, I can't hear anything. All I can hear is them screaming, "Go Pack, go." you know, thank you, Jerry, whatever they were. They're screaming everything. It was funny.
It has to be tough to navigate as a player who isn't used to like that environment either. Like the headphones have to be essential so that you actually hear less of what's being said out there. It was funny too because you could tell like he really liked that moment too. Like he was not getting emotional, but you could tell he was like, yeah, you know what? Fuck Jerry for trading me to this godforsaken place.
Like, when it gets cold, he's going to be like, yeah. But no, that's not true. He's from the Midwest.
Yeah, yep, true. Penn State.
He's not from the South.
He's from cold areas. Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah. Baron Sorrell, like I mentioned, first series he ever played on defense, had half a sack. Pretty cool. This is going to hit for absolutely no one. You listened to the Beastie Boys back in the day.
Yes, sir.
I believe you listened to, I think, their first album, Paul's Boutique?
No, the one with the plane on it.
Oh, fuck, that's right. There's a Beastie Boys song called Johnny Royale, and the chorus goes, Johnny Royale. When I see Baron Sorrell's name, I go, Baron Sorrell. It's like the same amount of...
No, that's going to be, we're going to get comments on this about how relatable that was for the audience.
One guy who listened to early Beastie Boys is going to be like, yes, I've thought the same thing. But yeah, Baron Sorrell, pretty good. I mean, again, for his first game playing number 99, again, here's the question. Do we have too many pass rushers?
It's, you know what? We have to bring back the NASCAR package. There's no other options.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have to put... Because who is it? It's obviously you got your... Who was the... Because I think we had one down lineman. So you put Wyatt as your down lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you've got... So you got Wyatt. You got Parsons. You got Gary. You got Van Ness. You've got...
You know, this week Cooper. This week too, they did use JJ in the NASCAR package.
They don't use a NASCAR package.
Or sorry, Cheetah. The Cheetah package. It was Cooper, Quay, JJ out there.
And then... Aaron Sorrell?
Sure.
That's a fast seven.
Yeah.
Even your big boy's fast.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, I can draw it up whenever.
We'll see. Devonta Wyatt, too, the other note that I had, obviously, you know, pretty good. He's like top 20 in the league in sacks right now with two, but he had that play, too, where he tried to intercept Jaden Daniels' spike. Did you see that? Late in the game, Daniels...
Yes, that was...
Okay, yeah, he spiked the ball and Wyatt dove for it. And he got his mitts on it, too. Like, could you imagine if that fucking happened?
Didn't I say something to you? Like, what... Who injected something into Devonta Wyatt at the end of the game? He was... Like, his hair was on fire. So the one play, he dives and almost gets his hands on the ball. And then the next play, I think he... Did he get a sack or a big pressure the next play?
God, I don't...
And they had to, like, throw it away. And then... He just was everywhere for like one series. And it was like, this guy really wants to get off the field because nobody else was like trying. It was the end of the game. Nobody, like, everyone was kind of just like playing at 75%. And Devonta Wyatt's like, I'm going to wreck this game.
Linebackers, Packers blitzed Jaden Daniels on 11 of his dropbacks. On those plays, Daniels was 1 for 9 for 9 yards and was sacked twice. Per ESPN's research, so that was pretty good. I think that was just earlier in the game. I also love, you know, we talked about Edgerrin Cooper a little bit. Again, he's kind of getting a little overshadowed here just with the Micah Parsons stuff going on. But I love hearing Coop getting picked up on the mics at Lambeau Field when it's there. Very, very cool. Quay got beat by Ertz for the touchdown. You know, the one, you know, if you get one Quay play every 2 weeks, I think we'll survive. Maybe he'll batten up the hatches a little bit, but I will take that. And again, that seems to be the one spot where you can attack this defense, or at least that's what it's been these first 2 weeks, where Ertz and Laporta both were the leading pass catchers for our opponents starting off the season here. And one other note on Quay, Wilde. So on Wilde and Tausch last week, I think. It must have been Friday. Yeah, it must have been Friday last week. Tausch was, you know, they were just talking about the game and he was like, oh, Tucker Kraft's got to be the next guy getting a big juicy extension, right? And Wilde was like, he's like, there's a contract on the table right now to extend Quay Walker which was kind of news like during the offseason that that's what the Packers were trying. But for him to reiterate that 2 weeks into the season is very interesting. And I like quite – it's funny, too, because when I called into Wilde and Tausch after week one, I think – or no, after we traded for Micah, whatever it was. And, yeah, it was after we traded for Micah. I think it was after week one. I mentioned that trading for him probably meant the end for Quay Walker, and Wilde agreed with me. And I wonder if he reached out to whoever his source is to be like, hey, what's going on with Quay? And they were like, well, actually, there's a contract on the table right now, and he might sign it somewhere in the near future. So he's saying he's the next guy who's going to sign an extension here. So I guess don't be shocked by that. I don't think he's very high on my list of guys I'd re-sign, but okay.
If he feels like a guy that, where we're at, you would let walk. Like, just where we're at cap-wise, he feels like a cap casualty.
Right. And it's not that I don't like Quay, it's just there's other guys
but also look
gonna have to sign.
There was a lot of good buzz, and it was just training camp. But there's...
Right.
Hopper, people think positively about Hopper. And he's a young guy that you could put next to Edge, and, like, I don't know, like... Get another guy in there like Isaiah, I don't know when his contract's up, but like, not that those guys grow on trees, but you can go find another Isaiah, unfortunately, right? But like, you can go find another Isaiah McDuffie. You can find Sam linebackers lying around.
I would, yes. I'd rather roll with Hopper and Isaiah McDuffie, who you just re-signed this offseason on a pretty cheap deal, rather than paying Quay probably at least $15 million a year. I mean, he's a decent player, but whatever.
Which also, like, isn't very much money anymore. So I don't...
True.
You know, like, I don't know.
But it's just we have... You know, again, this is... I feel old because this is the fourth year for guys like Romeo Doubs, Sean Ryan, Christian Watson, and all that. So it sneaks up on you. And this next draft class, too, after next year, you know, because that's Jaden Reed and Wicks. That's the other thing. I forgot who brought this up. But what's cool about the Christian Watson extension, which... I mean, you had to have known anyways, adding up the years and, you know, when the contracts end. But now next year, it's Dontayvion Wicks, Jaden Reed, and Christian Watson all in a contract year. So that will be very interesting, too, to see who comes out with a contract. Because if they're probably only going to sign one of those guys with Matthew Golden, Savion Williams being on this team, Malik Heath, whatever the fuck he is, and then you've turned into more of a too tight offense lately too, so it's just I'm curious to see what happens with that. Secondary, Keyshawn Nixon. I mean, again, probably one of it has to be his best game as a pro. Maybe the first year he was starting for the defense against the Chiefs, he ran the route for Patrick Mahomes and picked it off, and that kind of sealed the game. That was 2 years ago now, I believe.
Oh. Okay.
What did you...
Never mind.
You thought we were talking Jordan Love?
I thought you were talking about this week. I was like, what are you talking
about? No, this was last year of the year. No, it was a Joe Barry defense, so it was 2 years ago. But that was a huge game. This one, too, I mean, targeted five times, five passes defended. There was some stat where it's like, this hasn't happened in forever to have five passes deflection. I mean, Eric
Not
Stokes,
a single player last year had five passes defended in a game.
Okay, there you go.
Is what That's Richard Sherman stat. Said after on the cast. So
that makes sense. So Eric Stokes hasn't had a pass deflected in like four seasons. So there you go. Keyshawn had five in one game and didn't allow a completion, like I said, too.
And that punch out where he got burned pretty good. I mean, he maybe did have a little bit of defensive holding. It was on that, like, a little out route that he punched out after. Like, that ball was caught and he punched it out. Like, that was impressive. Like, that's what I love about Keyshawn is that, like, even when he gets beat, he's not beat. You know what I mean? Like, he's always fighting. So he's got violent little hands.
You know what?
I don't know if it's maybe his hands are big. I don't know.
You know, no, they're not hands. They're paws. You know why? Because he's a dog.
Why?
He's a dog. Built to ass.
He's a dog.
No, I mean, yeah. What else was I going to say here? Oh, and also, even whatever you feel about Keyshawn, I feel like there's been a lot of Keyshawn haters through the years because he is, you know, he can screw up at times. Guess how much he's making a year?
It's like nothing. I think you told me what
I think. I think it's... it did. It's $6 million.
Oh, I was going to say eight.
I had to look up if he was making less than Isaiah McDuffie. He is making more than Isaiah McDuffie, but those are the numbers we're talking about. And he's a number one corner in the league. So he's not in a contract year. Next year might be his last year, but I'm like, Is he going to ask for more money or something? Because, again, and that's what I'm getting back to with Quay. Maybe, you know, in the draft, I would assume we're going to bring in some corners. But who would you rather lock up for another 3 years, Quay Walker or Keyshawn? I don't know. Actually, that's a pretty good. That's a pretty good coin flip.
That is a good coin flip because
I'm gonna guess he's 27 because was his third contract. What is he?
28.
Okay.
Been in the league for 7 years.
All right. Maybe he is done after this contract with the Packers. Then we shall see. Bullard, another pretty solid game. I mean, I think he might have had one tackle he kind of whiffed on a bit, but especially the first half, like he got behind the blockers on a screen and tackled Debo on a third down, which was absolutely beautiful.
I literally paused that one and I rewound it to watch it again. It was so good. Like the way he recognized and beat the blockers, there was two guys in front of him. He splits them and makes the play. It's like, I couldn't be more impressed with Bullard this year.
Yeah.
He's a completely different player. Everything's in front of him. He's playing fast. It's like, oh, this is why we picked him. This is the athletic kid from Georgia who made all the plays. Like, it's. I don't know if it's the game slows down for him or what, but, like, yeah, super impressed.
We'll see what happens, but he still might even be, like, the weak point on this defense. Like, who is it? Who is it in, like, our base defense right now? Maybe it's Quay. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's one of the corners. I don't
know.
Maybe
it's Hobbs.
Yeah, but we haven't even seen enough out of him, and he was fine.
Right.
Which was kind of a surprise that he played, too, on a short week after not playing week one, but obviously we'll take it. He did, Justice Mosqueda pointed this out, that in the cheetah package, when we have all our, you know, smaller but fast pass-rushing linemen out there, that Hobbs comes in and plays the slot instead of Bullard. He said that was kind of another Packers showing their cards that they don't think Bullard is great in coverage, that in those passing situations with that package, he's replaced. It isn't in the other ones where you're more in the, where you move in the slot. So I just thought that was interesting too. X is getting bored in the secondary, like I said, and God, I wrote Evans again. I keep doing that. Evan Williams, correction from last week. It's Evan Williams, not Evans. His last week is not Evans. Shout out Eric Evans. He played all the safety snaps this week instead of Javon Bullard, who started the Lions game at safety. So there you go. Anything else on the defense from you? Cool.
No, it's just a solid group. That's so fun to watch.
Very true. Well said. Special teams, McManus missed a field goal at the end of the first half. Doinked it at 48 yards. It's weird how it's a doink, but it's like when you have the mic there, it kind of rattles, I feel like, with outdoor field goal is the
it's
most.
It's more of a bonk outdoors.
But it's more like metallic and, I don't know, swingy, I guess, instead of like a boing.
Be a boing?
Yeah.
A boing. See, it's a boing.
But it sounds looser. It sounds more like wiry than I would expect, like a hollow piece of metal. Like you get like corrugated metal and you just kind of wave it a bit, almost something like that.
Sure.
I don't know.
Well, it's metal.
True.
So that's true. Probably part of it.
And there was two doinks this week. Two doinks, because the Commanders kicker, too, had a doink.
Doink for doink.
Doink for doink, and McManus did make it up a little bit, making that 56-yarder in the second half to kind of milk the game away. Special teams, too. I mean, second half kickoff, Debo, Jesus Christ, that was bad. He made it to, like, midfield. Coverage units were bad, multiple penalties, clearly missed Bo Melton. It was very funny last week. I'm a loser. I listened to a lot of the press conferences and all the coordinators talk every week too. Rich Bisaccia, most pissed he's ever been in one of these pressers. Like usually he shows up, he has like something almost like pre-prepared where he's like, oh, you know, he talks about someone on the Yankees or some other bullshit.
Oh, fun.
And then he answers questions. This week he was short with everyone. He answered three questions and was gone. Like you could tell the beat reporters knew something was up. You could hear Tom Silverstein even say something before they cut the mic at the end. But I wonder if he was like on a short week, like scrambling to figure out what they were going to do to replace Bo Melton, which on Thursday we saw they didn't really have any gunners that could do what Melton does every single week, because those punt returns were getting at least 10 yards per return, it felt like, every single time.
Yeah, it didn't look like there was a whole lot of, I don't know, like the speed on the outside wasn't really there. So it'd be nice when we get Bull Mountain back.
And then Matthew Golden fielded a punt at the 3. That gave us a second reason to not have Matthew Golden on punt return. First being, he's Matthew Golden. He shouldn't be our punt returner. So hopefully we don't see that again. But Jaden Reed being out, we're calling up Mecole Hardman. So he's probably going to be our punt returner next week.
Do you think one of these guys needs to get hurt on a punt return so we can never see this again? Like, I've been saying this for so long that this is so dumb to put a starting... Anybody can return punts. We don't have a game breaker at punter. At returner.
I don't really care. I know I just said that, like, gives us a second reason. It's like, if you have someone better, sure. But when's the last time a prominent player got hurt as a kick returner or a punt returner? I don't think you can name it, and I think league-wide, it doesn't really happen. So, yes, it's scary. Hopefully, we find someone else.
Other teams don't do it.
True. I mean, I looked it up last year,
too. So, they're not dumb.
But we have Savion Williams as our kick returner.
Yes, put Savion back there.
Maybe. I don't know if he's going to be the punt guy. We'll see what happens with Mecole Hardman. Or maybe.
I also don't understand. It's easy to catch a punt. Like, it's harder than a kick, but, like...
Are you sure?
If you're a professional football player, don't you just find somebody to punt the ball to you all the time and get good at it, and then it's not a big deal? Like, just figure it out.
If that were true, then Amari Rodgers would have stuck on with the Green Bay Packers a lot more.
He was fumble king.
He was muff king, too. He was the king of the muff. That's what everyone called him. In the locker room and out of the locker room. Amari Rodgers. He was really bad at football. He cost us making the playoffs in 2022. Special teams. With that, we will have Take News.
Football time. Take News.
All right, Take News for the week. I don't really have anything that great prepared this week. We're going to talk about two things. One of them first, Sterling Sharp. He was inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame at halftime. Pretty cool. He said a couple interesting things at like his press conference beforehand, and I'm just going to play a clip here. We'll talk a little bit about parts of it. It's about a minute long, but this is his press conference, I believe, before the ceremony at halftime.
I had my time. I did what I wanted to do for as long as God let me do it. And it's Romeo Dobbs' time. It's Christian Watson's time. It's those guys' time. And I appreciate getting a chance to watch them on TV. But I've never been that guy that I needed to, and I'm going to say this, and I hope I don't upset any former players. I've never needed my ego stroke. I've said this 1,000 times. I was my own standard. And because I was my own standard, I never failed. So I was not one. I live 24 miles, honey, from the University of South Carolina. I've never been back. Shane Beamer, the head coach, is a good friend of mine. But I've never been back because I'm just not, that's not something I really like to do. But it was good being back here. It was good being back, seeing some of the changes and getting a chance to see Kirk Fielding. Rich Bisaccia, I raised Rich Bisaccia. He was a GA with me in South Carolina, your special teams coach. So it was really good getting a chance to see them. I got a chance to see LaFawn, who works up in the front on the office, answering the phone. She was here when I was here. I got a chance to talk to Deb on the phone. She was here when I was here. So that's really good. It's good to get back and see that, you know, there's a lot of change, but there's some things that are still the same.
So, again, nothing like crazy out of that clip. I guess I just wanted to say that Sterling Sharp is like a weird dude, and in like a weird way. Like, I don't know if I've ever come across someone like Sterling Sharp. So even like just there, he's like talking about his ego getting stroked or whatever. He's talking about, you know, all the other like young receivers who it's their time. And then I almost wonder if that's like a shot at Donald Driver talking about former players who like kind of stick around, because Donald Driver, I mean, he still lives. God, I don't know if he even lives in the area, but he's always in like Wisconsin commercials and stuff like that, whatever. But the thing that he says with like the Gamecocks, you know, he went to South Carolina, that he hasn't been back there since he played football and he's friends with the head coach. Very, very strange. I thought there was a different clip too, where he basically admitted that he doesn't think he'll be back to Lambeau again either. Like, this will be the last time. And it's just very odd for a guy. And then, you know, and then at the end, he breaks it down where he's like, oh, I got to talk to LaFonda, who's on the phones, who was here when I was here. And Rich Bisaccia, I raised him, he says. But, you know, he was a graduate assistant at South Carolina with him, you know, while he was playing. And Sterling Sharp's career was very strange, too, because, like, he didn't talk to the Green Bay media. He never talked to the Green Bay media. At the very beginning, I forgot what happened, but then he stopped talking to the reporters. I don't even know if reporters were allowed at that presser, but even leading up to his Hall of Fame ceremony, he didn't make himself available to Green Bay's media going into the Hall of Fame, which is very weird. And then before the 1994 season, I don't know if you ever heard about this, but it was the week of the first week. It might have been like the night before. It might have been like the Friday before. He's like, I'm holding out. I need a new contract. And the team was like, you're fucking kidding me. I don't know if he missed any games. I don't remember. Obviously, they worked it out because, you know, he played 1994, 1995, and I think 95 is when he got hurt. But just a very, I don't know, strange dude. Because, again, it's not like he does a ton of interviews either. And he doesn't seem like he didn't really get all that emotional during this whole process here. But I don't know. I just wanted to point out that, you know, Sterling Sharp, really, really good player. Kind of a different kind of dude.
Have you met his brother? Also weird.
Oh, God. But he sucks.
Oh, on the opposite end of the spectrum.
I accidentally went live on Instagram where you have to hit like 5 different buttons, and then I happened to be having sex with a woman that she didn't know that was being... You don't remember this? That's why he got fired from Fox.
No, I remember
okay,
that.
Okay, but yeah, not... and plus he's annoying, but yes.
I don't know a lot about Sterling Sharp outside of like the football stuff, but like as like... He seems just like a quiet guy is like what I take away from it. And maybe like, I don't know. Maybe that's like Romeo Dubs. Like, he's just like he's a little more weird probably, but like
definitely weirder.
Just like quiet and just like doesn't, I don't know, not good at like expressing himself, maybe is like what it comes across as. I mean, I also know too, like he talks about like not needing his ego stroked, but he also did say that he was like upset with the Packers when he got hurt. And I think rightfully so, because nobody reached out to him when he got hurt. That's pretty screwed up. But, like, so maybe that's the reason he just didn't want to say that because he's there at the facility. Like, that's why he didn't come back. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I would be pretty butthurt if you're, like, one of the best wide receivers to ever come through and you hurt your neck and they're like, see ya. And they just, like, don't even call.
I guess, but, like, Za'Darius Smith said the same thing, and Za'Darius was an asshole. And I think Sterling Sharp was a bit of an asshole, too. Again, the holding out thing. I mean, Brett Favre very rarely talks about Sterling Sharp. He only talks about good things on like the football field. Like, he's never talked about Sterling like helping him get prepared for the NFL or anything. Like, no one's really had anything beyond, wow, he was a really good receiver story about Sterling Sharp. That's a thing. It's one of those where just the fact that there's nothing there makes me think, you know, there's two sides of every story.
It's a good point. And to the only person that literally ever talks to him like with a microphone in their hand is Shannon Sharp. He's the only person that he talks to. So we don't really know.
True. Very true. Other thing to talk about, NFC North. Do we want to talk about? We're just going to talk about the NFC North quick. We went a little long here. We're going to win the NFC North, I feel like. These were the odds at the beginning of the season. The Packers were +260. Again, one of these bets, if you're betting 100, it's how much would you win? That's the plus money. If you bet 100 and it's minus money, it's you would have to bet that much money to win 100. Clear? Probably not. Okay. Packers were +260 to start the year. Lions were +150, the favorites. Vikes were +300. Bears were +450. Now, the Packers are -200. The Lions are +300. The Vikes are +75. Guess what the Bears are?
If the Lions are +3, was it +3 for the Lions?
+300, yeah.
Bears +6.
They're +4,000. The Vikes were +750. The Bears were +4,000. So I think we're going to win the NFC North. We actually went longer than I thought we would, but J.J. McCarthy, I'm not impressed. He got banged up. He's going to be out a couple weeks. The Lions absolutely shit on the Bears, which again makes their week one victory look even better. Maybe if you give Jared Goff some time, he's okay still. And the Bears, you know, Caleb Williams, man, what a weird quarterback he is. Like, he's fun to watch at times, but he is bad. The Bears are a dumpster fire. Their defense is bullshit. I mean, the Vikes too. I think the Vikes have the highest paid defense in the NFL. Or maybe the Bears do. The Bears and Vikes are both really? are like tops in the league. And the Bears is dog shit. And the Vikes is old as hell and didn't really, I have a guess if they were fine against the Falcons. But any one of those teams you want to talk about here briefly?
I just wish that we weren't playing all of our games at the end of the season. Yeah. Like, as far as like conference games, I wish we were playing them at the beginning of the season, because it looks like it would be a cakewalk right now. Not to say, I mean, I believe in this team. We could go beat them later on too, but it's like, yes. Man, how fun would it be? And it's going to be fun this week too, to watch against the Browns, but like to watch the play against, I mean, we've seen Jared Goff, he's experienced, but then, you know, or he's experienced quarterback, and then you've also got a young, what am I trying to say here? A good quarterback.
Mm.
I'd like to see him go up against like a shitty rookie.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what Caleb Williams and JJ McCarthy have played like. So,
yeah. I mean, if we could have gone Lions and then Vikings, that would have been the best start. Because especially like JJ, like first you start off the year beating the Lions, who won the North the year before, and, you know, their number one seed, blah, blah, blah. And then you get to just shit on, you know, we'd probably beat the Vikings, I would say. But JJ, like, he looks lost out there. Did you see the thing where, you know, he got pressured a ton? He was pressured like 40% of the time he dropped back or some bullshit. But he also held on to the ball longer than just about anyone else in the league. So it's like, oh, he's not processing things correctly and he's holding on to the ball. And that's why he's hurt now. So we can blame him for his injury. I don't know. I haven't felt this good about winning the NFC North since like the 2010s and the early 2020s, you know, where it was pretty obvious from the get-go what was going to happen.
Yeah, it does seem like, I mean, quarterback's obviously the position. You look at two of the three teams just have, like, the quarterback play is not there. And that just, you can't, it's tough to win games like that in this league when you have a quarterback that just can't sit back there and pick apart a defense. The one thing that I will say is that they both have, I mean, you got Ben Johnson. I mean, who knows what Caleb Williams looks like by the end of the year? I mean, he's a great play caller at the very least. I don't know how good he is at developing quarterbacks. But then Kevin O'Connell too, like that is like the saving grace if you're a Vikings fan, is that like he could look a lot better at the end of the season just because of the coaching staff. I guess both of them could. So that, I don't know. If you're a Viking fan, I feel like you got to be at least a little bit excited about JJ, just because he's like, we talked about this a little bit before, he's like the golden retriever that just like keeps getting back up, and
he's
like never down and out, but like also
he's fun right now if you're in that locker room, if you're a fan. But if he stinks and he's still the rah-rah yelling, ooh, I got my warrior paint on, I'm a warrior now, ooh, I got a whole different persona with the warrior sweaty paint on, but you're losing, that shit is not going to fly. And, you know, the whole thing, they're like, is he really hurt or are they benching him and they're saving his pride by doing this? Who's to say? Kevin O'Connell did also say that last week Wentz had a practice where when he was throwing, the ball didn't hit the ground. Maybe that's something that gave Kevin O'Connell means to be like, maybe we should make a switch here. JJ is the most overrated offensive player of the week award recipient of all time. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll move on. We'll move on to Packer shit now. Ugh, that was already too much talking about dog shit teams. The Packers this week on Sunday are playing the Cleveland Browns at noon on Fox. Kevin Kugler and Daryl Johnston will be the commentators for this game. Packers are 8.5-point favorites. The over-under is set at 42.5. That's about 5 points less than what the previous games have been for the Packers. The Browns are coming off a 13-14 or a 3-14 finish in 2024 under head coach Kevin Stefanski at 2-0 or 0-2 through 2 weeks. They have struggled offensively, but have been okay on defense. That was my own correction on there from, you know, this excellent preview that I put together. They opened up the year with a 24-10 home loss to the Bengals on September 7th, where their offense had just 10 points despite a good defensive effort. Then last week, they fell 27-10 on the road to the Ravens. Again, they didn't do well on offense, and the Ravens' defense limited them to 177 yards over 11 drives. Joe Flacco is still starting, backed by Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, the two rookies. Yada, yada. I mean, God, it's not looking good for them. On offense, they rank 31st in total points with 649 through two games. They have a 47.1% third down conversion rate, which is actually pretty good. Passing game, again, by Flacco, they have 290 yards passing in week one. But in week two, they struggle with the league's worst run game, averaging 49 yards per game, a 2.0 yards per carry, which is pretty bad. Again, Joe Flacco, he's got two touchdowns, three picks on the season. The running backs, Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson, both rookies. They're kind of the two lead guys. They have Jerome Ford as well, but he's kind of being phased out already. Judkins is playing again after not being suspended. He hasn't been suspended yet, but there was a weird kind of hesitancy with getting his rookie deal done because he was arrested before his deal was signed. So the Browns just kind of waited to see what would happen. Last week was his first week playing. He had 61 yards on 10 carries, which is the leading rusher for that team. Dylan Sampson, the other back, he's not as good of a runner, but he's a great pass catcher. He's got 77 yards receiving on the year, which is the third highest for all pass catchers on that team. Wideout Jerry Jeudy, you know, their primary receiver, coming off a 90-catch, 1,229-yard season in 2024. Cedric Tillman, he's the second or third-year wideout. He's the deep threat. He was kind of a sleeper in fantasy leagues this year. Tight end, they have David Njoku that everyone knows about. He's been in the league for a while, one of the better tight ends. But they also have the rookie Harold Fannin Jr., who has 111 yards receiving. He's leading that team. And then on the offensive line, they have Joel Badatitio. I'll just make it Italian, a all-pro guard and the best offensive lineman on their team. On defense, the Browns have the NFL's top run defense, allowing just 45.5 rushing yards per game and 2.1 yards per carry. Only one rushing touchdown has been allowed. Their pass D, however, is ranked 26th with a 7.6 yards per attempt allowed, and ranking 30th in explosive pass plays and yards after catch. I don't know if you know this, but the Packers have a lot of explosive passing plays so far this year, so maybe there'll be a Matthew Golden touchdown. I don't know. Defensive end, Myles Garrett, reigning defensive player of the year. I mean, he is the AFC Micah Parsons, really, really good pass rusher, and he's a big fucking guy, too. Defensive tackle, Dalvin Tomlinson, he's a really good run stopper in the trenches. He used to play for the Vikings, if you remember. Cornerback, Denzel Ward, really good cornerback, you know, probably the best piece of their secondary, along with Grant Delpit, the versatile safety. Just a good safety back there. Did you see Darnell Savage got cut today by the Jags?
Did not.
He got cut. Sad. Oh, okay, breaking news. Darnell Savage got cut by the Jags. He remember when we gave him a fifth-year option when he didn't really show anything?
And then I do remember that.
And then he dropped that ball against the Niners in the playoffs.
But you remember how fast he was.
He was very fast. We thought he was going to be good. Remember, we were like, he's going to be the one that Ha-Ha wasn't. And when we drafted Ha-Ha, we were like, he's going to be the one to replace Nick Collins after we tried to do that with MD Jennings. And who else do we have back there? Who else were our safeties? I don't know. We don't need a...
Maybe we're just throwing any of them out? Adrian Amos?
Yeah, he was good, though. And that was after Ha-Ha. Yeah, he was the perfect type of free agent signing. Yeah. Special teams for the Browns always try to look to see what former Packers. Corey Bjorquez, their punter, is on the Browns. The worst field goal placeholder in the league. Because that was the year Mason Crosby was...
Is that a statistic?
I forgot who said it afterwards, but I knew it at the time because they talked about the operation when he was there, because it was always like, is the long snapper shitty? A lot of it was Corey Bjorquez. And then the next year, Mason Crosby, I think that was the year he didn't miss a kick. When the previous one, it was so bad. You remember that Bengals game where I think there was five missed kicks in like the fourth quarter and overtime?
I don't know. No, I don't remember that. Oh. 5 missed kicks?
Yeah, that, it was like three. It was 3 or 4 years ago.
Sounds like something I would want to erase from my memory.
That is a very good point. But yeah, he'll be playing in this game. Again, injuries. I mean, Zach Tom, Aaron Banks. I bet they'll both be questionable. Again, Aaron Banks said he's going to play. Zach Tom, probably iffy. I would assume he's not going to play. Other injuries, I don't think we really have anyone else that popped up at the end of the game. But we're
also feels like if you have guys that are on the borderline of like, do you play them, do you not, this is maybe a game that's a really good one to sit out.
Maybe that makes this a trap game.
Could be.
But with that, Todd, what are you thinking going into this huge battle in Cleveland, Ohio?
I don't know. I tried to watch a little bit of the Browns game. Was unsuccessful because they are not TV worthy, apparently. So I don't know. It just seems like it does feel. I don't even know if it feels like a trap game. It feels like a nothing game. It feels like we're gonna go in there. It's gonna be fun, right? Like we. But it just is like. It doesn't even feel trap game esque to me. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It's something about, you know, our first noon game of the year. We're going to be wearing the white jerseys. We're going to be in a weird place, an AFC game in Cleveland. Like, it's tough right now to see us losing, but
right.
But if, say, we kick off and they return it for a touchdown, or the first drive somehow, you know, Evan Williams falls over and they got a huge touchdown to Cedric Tillman or something, and they're up 7-0. Like the aesthetic of a bright sun in Cleveland in a half empty stadium, that looks like trap game to me. Like, I still remember losing to the Bucks in like 2010 or 2009 against Josh Freeman, and we were favored, and ugh, that one we lost at the end too. It's just exactly. It's just one of those type scenarios. I don't think it's gonna happen, but I have a weird just little bug in the back of my brain that's like, maybe this isn't gonna be as easy because everything's been too easy. You know, it feels like, I mean, we are peaking early, but we'll
see. Steel man the trap game narrative. I mean, I guess that defense could
straw man? Steel man?
Steel man.
What's steel
straw man? Straw man is when you straw man's the opposite of steel man. Steel man is when you like build up the argument just for discussion's sake, and straw man is when you.
I've only heard straw man. I've never heard steel man.
Maybe I made it up. I think but I'm pretty sure
isn't
it's
it
a
the
thing.
Tin man.
Nope, the tin man
is
a liar. Okay. Right? Isn't he a liar?
I don't remember. They had to grease up his joints. The lion didn't have a heart.
The lion, no courage.
Okay.
The tin man doesn't have a heart. Okay. What's the other one?
The scarecrow. The straw man.
Scarecrow's a liar.
the true straw man.
I don't know. Oh, to argue on behalf of a trap game, that's what I meant to say, whether or not that makes sense. I just, like, it could be that their D-line is aggressive enough and, you know, they have, like you said, talented guys on the back end. So maybe there is a couple picks or something like that. Maybe they make the most of some opportunities. I don't know, but it just still doesn't feel, it doesn't even feel like a trap game to me. Famous last words, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll see. I'm trying to think of what the real matchups will be here. You know, if Zach Tom is out, Myles Garrett would obviously be the one to watch. Maybe we get a lot more snaps from Chris Brooks in this game, you know, the pass blocking aficionado. Again, their run game's really good, but we've been running the ball like shit this year, so maybe we'll just keep being the deep hucket chucket football team. With that, Todd, what is your score prediction? Or maybe Billy's. I don't really fucking care.
Perfect. Billy's, let's see. I have it right on hand here. Billy has 23-6 Packers.
23-6, okay.
Yeah. Do you want his bold prediction?
Nope. Again,
this.
I told you last week. I'll tell you again. We do score predictions, and then we do bold predictions. We do all of them, and then we do all of them.
Okay. So my score prediction is 33-17.
Okay.
I have much, much more points.
Okay. Well, I have even more than you. I have us winning 13-38. I just, again, the matchup, as long as we keep Myles Garrett in check, we should be good. I'm not very afraid of the Browns' running game. Again, Judkins is probably pretty good. Samson's fine, but they don't have a lot of real scary pass catchers. It's old-ass Joe Flacco back there throwing the ball. He's had a couple picks already and some really bad fucking throws to him. What is he, 40 years old? I think he is actually 40 years old. And just the way this matches up, the Browns have a really shitty pass D. We love to throw it deep. Matthew Golden doesn't have hardly any receptions this year. Maybe we use that to our advantage. We're like, oh, look at this. So 13-38, a lot of points against a lot less amount of points. Billy pointed this out too. I guess last week for us was a almost scoregami, 18-27. That's only the second time that had been scored. Right. That's shocking. 18 didn't seem like that rare of a number, and 27 seems to happen quite a bit.
But then you saw who it was the first time, right?
What was it? It was us too.
It was us versus the Colts, and we lost. Did I make that up?
That sounds right. Was that the Nick Perry game? Or no, it was like 2000. It was 2003 or something.
It was earlier than that, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, there you go. A little piece of history. Moving on to bold predictions. Bold predictions. Todd, what is your bold prediction for this game?
My bold prediction is a defensive score. Oh. I think that, and I want to stick with defensive score because it could be like a strip sack or a strip fumble recovery or a interception.
Okay, so, well, you know, I hemmed and hawed last week when Billy had that, but I guess we'll allow it. It's very boring. You know, we like to get a little bit more creative here, but whatever. I guess you're getting out the early year jitters, I understand.
Billy's?
You're so nervous.
Billy's was Chris Brooks scores a touchdown.
Okay, I like that one. That's a very good one. And again, that makes sense. He's going to probably get more snaps than usual doing some pass blocking.
He also said the guy has one career TD, so I think that's bold enough.
he's getting self-conscious after I was like, oh, it's not very bold last week. So, okay, sure, Billy. I was going back and forth. I was going to say, like, Corey Bohorquez muffs a snap to him and they miss a field goal because of it. I'm not going to do that one. I'm going to do Matthew Golden has a, what should we say here? 65-plus yard touchdown in this game. I think we're going to kind of use him.
You think they hit him?
I wouldn't, you know, we've seen in the past where Matt LaFleur breaking out, you know, Christian Watson, his first ever game, going deep to him against the Vikings. He dropped it. We saw us go deep to Christian Watson on Thanksgiving in Detroit, and he caught it, did not score. So I wouldn't be surprised if Matthew Golden, who there was like some shit this week where he turned his like Twitter picture all black, like he was upset or something. People were him and Han were like, ooh, he's truly a elite quarterback if he's already upset about something. But maybe Matt's going to be like, hey, let's throw you a bone. Let's go deep early. So 65-plus yard touchdown for Matthew Golden.
I like it.
So we'll see. Noon on Sunday. Hopefully we win. And if not, we will.
Riot.
Yeah, we'll be sad or riot, whatever. I just wanted to put you on the spot and see what you'd say there. With that, everyone's favorite part of the episode, if you could please leave a 5-star review on...
No, fuck,
we forgot Stump Spenny.
Well, I didn't forget.
Well, we usually do it before the preview.
I don't know how this goes. Yeah, what, I don't no, I don't even know what we do for the predictions.
You've shown that, so that's a very good point. I need to be a better host. Okay, Stump Spenny, what is the trivia question? I am 0-1 for the year.
All right. In the Packers' 2017 victory in Cleveland, which future Packers QB started for the Browns?
I mean, he made that awfully easy, right? It's now I can only see his face. I wanted to say Watson.
Ooh.
No.
I thought you were going to get it so fast.
No, I mean, I know who it is. Why can't... Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I might have to cut some of this out. No.
Billy might be saved by the bell on this one.
No, there's no time limit.
We're gonna go 0-2.
Because we traded for him. We traded away the original Darnell Savage. Why can't I remember his name either? Fuck.
Well, would you like to go for some bonus points here? The bonus points are if you can name the Packers starting QB that day.
Brett Hundley.
Yes. You got bonus points.
Why can't I remember his... DeShone Kizer. There we go. Jesus Christ.
That's one that I was like, I think I would have gotten that right.
I knew it.
You just have to remember the name.
I saw his face the entire time. I'm like, I know it's DeShone Kizer, and it
sticks out so much too, because like trading for a quarterback is just something we literally never do. And yeah. You're like, oh, we got DeShone Kizer. Yeah. It's like, okay. I don't know. Stuck out in my memory.
Very good. So 1-1 for the year. Thank you, Billy, for giving me much more of a layup. Again, back to it.
One style point.
And one style point. Oh, very good. I guess I'm just slightly above 500 for the year. Yeah, leave a 5-star rating, everyone's favorite part, rating on Apple or Spotify. That'd be cool. If you want, you can email us at pmppodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter at pmppod. Give us your address, and I will send you a free koozie. Maybe I'll give you like a fucking... football card too. I've got like some signed JJ Nagbari cards because I bought them because I thought maybe he'd be really good and they were cheap. Maybe I'll give you one of those. Who knows? Ask for that.
Maybe he will be good.
Maybe he won't.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. You can leave a comment too on Spotify or a review on Apple. We got some comments last week. First one. This is from Ben in Hobart. He said, calling in sick tomorrow to watch the game. Need all those bold predictions to hit. Go Pack, go. I like preemptively calling in sick to work for a night game. I guess he might have said this the day of the game, so he called in on Friday, which, good on you. That works too.
But is he, maybe he's not in the United States.
Maybe. It could be a different
day. Do you call in sick in other countries, or do you phone in sick in England?
Do you have a catch, or do you play catch?
Right.
We have another one. We have RJ saying, I too have been all smiles this week after the win, especially when seeing all my friends who are Lions fans. Very good. He lives in the state of Michigan, so it makes a little bit more sense there. We have, I don't have it pulled up. Well, I got a different one. We have Jen, who said, if you remember, we talked about Kirk Herbstreit and his dogs.
Yes.
Remember that, the golden retriever? And
I saw a video of the dog afterwards.
Oh, you did? Okay. So Jen said, Peter is the best. I cannot get sick of Kirk's adorable golden retriever. So I assume the new dog's name is Peter. And then Jen replied to herself and said, and yes, I asked Kirk where Pete was in person at the draft. So Pete did not make the trek to the draft.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
that's kind of rude.
Yeah, so people are wondering what was up there. Oh, and then we had Matt. I won't say his last name. I'll just say Matt. He was the guy who was over in like the UK. Remember he commented last year or whatever?
Yes. Didn't you take 3 years to send him a koozie?
No, it was within a year at least. I don't know. I don't know if he even actually asked. I sent one to the UK.
Well, wouldn't he had to have given his address for you to send it?
Right. But I just knew he was in the UK. Because we sent one to Australia before, and at least one to the UK and some other places.
My point was just that he would have had to ask for a koozie and send you his address for you to send one to him.
Correct. And I don't think I have, because he never gave me his address.
Oh, you still haven't sent one. I thought...
Okay. I think that was a different guy. I could be wrong, too. I don't know. I don't fucking know. Commenting post-win over the Commanders, bloody hell, are we good or what? Looking at the schedule ahead, we could go on some serious run here. Certainly 4-0 into the bye. True. Cowboys week 4. Maybe undefeated going into the Eagles game on Monday Night Football. Either way, I've picked a top... it's funny to read. You know where he's from. Either way, I've picked a top year to move from London to Toronto so I could be closer to the Packers.
Oh.
I'm lucky enough to go to the next two. Go Pack, go, Matt. P.S. Who the fuck trades Micah Parsons? Very good point. It's very funny to go from like top year and that, and now it's like he's in Canada.
Well, but like I feel like that is like probably an appropriate move. Like, you do you want to just like drink through the fire hose and move straight to the United States? Like, that's probably like go to America Light and just like soak it in. It's different, right? Like, I don't know. I guess I've never been. Actually, I've literally never been to Canada or the UK, so I have known nothing.
I've never been to Canada. You haven't like fished or hunted up in Canada.
Canada is just North Midwest, though, so it doesn't, like, you know what I mean? I feel like I've been there. What's the difference?
I had a couple hockey tournaments up there when I was younger, obviously. The biggest things to remember is just how the speed limits were in kilometers, and the ketchup at McDonald's tasted different. A little more lighter, a little sweeter up north.
Sweeter?
I think so, yeah. Oh, I mean, I was 13 years old. Yeah, maybe my palate was different. The fructose corn syrup that we're getting out of everything, right, from our hero, our mutual hero?
Well, it's maple syrup. It's the maple syrup in Canada that makes it sweeter is what I was getting at.
I didn't even catch on that. It was very good. But yeah, thank you to everyone for commenting again. You can comment this week, and we will talk about it one way or another like we did here. Right?
That actually sounds like a great idea.
Okay. Cool. Todd, that's all I got. We got the Browns. Could you imagine if we lose to the Browns?
Yeah. No, I could imagine
What percent chance? It's like
five.
I was going to say realistically, it's probably like 20. Like Vegas odds, maybe?
Sure. Like any given Sunday odds. But
I have like 3%.
It's just, and if it does happen, it's just a fluke.
It's a get right moment, right?
Yeah. It's, hey, this team needs to get right for the rest of the season.
Fucking
or whatever.
Wow.
I don't know.
Perfectly
It just
said.
Doesn't matter. It's like in 2011 when we lost to the
Chiefs.
Dolphins.
Chiefs.
Fuck.
How do you always get that wrong? You always get that wrong.
I literally always say the Dolphins. I don't know why.
Was it Chris Jones? Who was the big defensive end they had back then? We don't need to him and haw on this.
Oh, yeah.
They had the linebacker, too. Talibi? Talibi?
No.
Tabibi?
No.
I'm right.
Tabibi is not.
It's something
name.
Like that. We had Atari Bigby.
I can picture him in my head, and I cannot remember his name.
Tamahali? I'm getting closer.
Tamahali. Okay. Tamahali.
Okay. I might have crunched them together.
I was just Googling 2011 Chiefs roster. Ugh. So, yes, Tamahali. That's who
okay.
it was.
With that, I don't have anything else. Todd, do you have anything else?
No, thank you.
Awesome. AJ Dillon, take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah. Cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah. Well, now I don't care.
Dan Skipper was the GM for the Lions?
They just had a tackle that got moved to their practice squad.
It was the tackle. That's who it was.
But Skipper is like a NBA owner or baseball. Oh. God. Yeah. It's a damn shame. Since the accident.
John Skipper.
Who is he?
An American television executive.
Yeah. Oh, ESPN.
ESPN.
He's the guy who got PMT. That,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
He's a cokehead. He had to say he had a coke addiction or something for why he was bad at his job.
Would that make you worse at your job?
It's a good point. I don't know.
Probably enhance your performance.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.